It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. Later this hour, we'll talk with Kristen Powers. She's in Iowa City to give a talk in conjunction with a showing of a film, the film Twitch, which focuses on her experience. Twitch is the first documentary to follow the life of someone going through genetic testing for the devastating disease Huntington disease. We'll also talk with Huntington disease specialist Dr. Peg Neupolis, that in our second half hour. In our first half hour, we want to find out what it's like to navigate the job market here in Iowa as an ex-felon. Joining me now with his story in our Des Moines studio, Kelly Page is with us. He's an ex-felon and former owner of a store in Des Moines called Great Alternatives. Kelly Page, thank you for coming into our studio.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off with your background as a felon. What were you convicted of and what did you serve time for?
I started getting in trouble in 1985, was the first time, and most recently ended up in 2008 was my last charges, set of charges, and that was for basically buying stolen property and selling it on a large scale. You know, was incarcerated for that a little over 3 years and paroled. On supervised parole until about a year ago and then discharged from that. So everything has been paid as far as the debt goes on those convictions.
Mm-hmm. So after being released, what was your experience looking for, let's call it a typical job, because we want to talk about opening a store, but you first looked for a conventional job.
Yeah, I did. Premise that with the last time that I was incarcerated, that's one of the things that I actually thought about was what I was going to do when I got out this time. For myself, you know, it took to my mid-40s before I finally started to grow up and change the way that I viewed life. And so when I did that, I was looking at possibilities of what I could do for employment when I got out and, you know, make a decent amount of money to take care of myself and my family. And I don't have any formal education, and so I thought that if I could probably sell cars and make some decent money and, you know, legal, not get in any trouble. So when I got out this last time around, I had to go through a halfway house type program at Fort Des Moines here in Des Moines. And I was able to go and have a CDL license reinstated to drive a heavy equipment truck. And so I drove a dump truck for 3 months while I was in that halfway house. And as soon as I got out of there, I put on slacks and a tie and started to go look for a job selling cars. Well, after the 17th car dealership, then someone finally gave me a shot. And it was all due to, you know, my troubles.
Mm-hmm. So, right, because, of course, on any application, the one question you have to answer, as does anyone, is were you ever convicted of a felony?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely.
And in most of those cases, the vast majority, that's where your job prospect ended.
Yes, it did. Yeah, no one wanted to give me the opportunity to give it a try, and I understand that, too. I mean,
right.
So, you know, it goes both ways.
So tell us, when you decided to open your own businesses, what were the circumstances there?
Well, when Deary Brothers in Pleasant Hill finally gave me an opportunity to sell cars, you know, I was very appreciative and, in fact, you know, finished top three every month as a salesman and did very well there. So I smoked cigarettes for 30 years. And when I started working at that dealership, as a smoker, you always look for a place that you can smoke. And so when I started walking towards that, I saw another gentleman that worked there out there puffing away. But when I got closer, I could see he had something different than a conventional cigarette. And I'd never saw one. And I asked him, and he said it was an electronic cigarette. So
an e-cigarette, yep.
Yep, yep. Mm-hmm. He explained it to me. I tried it, ordered one, and it was effortless for me anyway. And, you know, the benefits were endless. So as I used that opposed to conventional cigarettes and just watched and researched this market, I saw an opportunity there and saved my money that I made selling cars and asked my 26-year-old daughter, Amber, if she would like to get involved and be a part of it. And after she thought about it, she did. And, you know, she quit two of her jobs that she'd had for some time to come and do this with me. So we opened the store over in Beaverdale there, and I sold cars and came to the shop on Tuesdays and Sundays when my day's off and after work, and we've been going ever since.
So did you sell anything besides e-cigarettes or just that?
It's solely electronic cigarettes and the liquid that goes inside of them. It's mm-hmm. called e-liquid. So.
And the business has taken off.
It is. Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay. So much so that you didn't need to sell cars anymore, or are you still involved with that?
No, I left the dealership about Thanksgiving of last year. So.
Okay. Well, the next chapter of this story involves the new laws that went into effect here in Iowa in July. What were those laws? Tell us what were those laws and what happened.
Well, we opened May of 2013 and have been growing and doing better the whole time. And this year, as of July 1st, new laws went into effect that legislator put into place, which were age restrictions, 18 or over. And they also classified this under the Tobacco Act in Iowa. And we voluntarily did the age restriction thing all the way up until then.
And, even prior to this law.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And when we found out that you had to have a tobacco license also, researched what the process of that was, and it was to get the application, fill it out, and have a criminal background check printed off. And if you have one, of course, it shows up. If you don't, it says zero records. And then with those items, you take it down to the city clerk, and pay your fee. And the next step of the process is that license and anything that along with it goes to the Des Moines Police Department for their review, where they look at it and then they make a recommendation to the city council whether to they recommend to deny or grant a license.
It's the city council's decision in the end.
It is. It
okay.
Is.
So when it came down to that, what happened?
Well, I talked to the police department before that, actually, though, because I know that if you look at my record and on paper, it's not very good. So I wanted to call and put a person and a voice with the file because that is in the past. And, they told me that based on everything, they were going to recommend to deny. So set a date to go on the agenda for the council. I went down to that meeting and spoke. And my whole point of the situation is we have a structure in place in society that if you do break the rules, there are consequences. And depending on, what rules you broke, they sentence you to prison sometimes to pay those consequences, which happened in my case. And I went and I served my time. I paid my debt in full. And the whole time that a person is incarcerated, they're always saying that you're here as punishment and also to be rehabilitated, to become a contributing member of society again when you get this behind you. But I just feel like that's not the case because I did pay my debt. It is behind me. My track record, from that time on has been very good. And I just feel like I've been discriminated against for that. Mm-hmm. And again, it's a two-edged sword because I do understand we're all at where we're at because of previous decisions.
Right, right. At the end of the story up to the present is that I understand you had to sell your store, which is called Great Alternatives there in Des Moines, to your mom. You still work there, but she is the license holder, and you're appealing this decision?
Yes, I will. And you're right. I sold the business in its entirety to my mom and was brought back on as a consultant. We will – I don't know if the appeal is the proper term, but we will put back in to get back on the agenda with the city council to have it looked at again. And mm-hmm. So
there is a means for you to get back on that docket.
I believe so. And I have to say also, that the Des Moines Police Department, Sergeant Bagby, and the whole city council have treated me with nothing but respect, and I really appreciate that through this whole process.
Okay. Kelly Page is my guest. He's an ex-felon and a former owner of Great Alternatives. He had to sell his e-cigarette store to his mother after he was denied a tobacco permit for, I believe the words were, lack of good moral character, what appeared in the document, Kelly?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah. Carrie Kuntz joins us as well now by phone. Carrie Kuntz is a communications director at Iowa Workforce Development. As we sort of heard this one story of navigating the job market as an ex-felon. Carrie Kuntz, welcome to our program.
Thank you.
How typical is Kelly Page's story? You've heard a lot of ex-felon stories looking for work.
Well, it's definitely an uphill battle often for ex-felons, particularly depending on what their crime was that they were sentenced for. Kelly has a little bit of a unique situation with the change in the law for the permit that isn't something that we delve into as much at workforce development. But certainly when he talks about going to multiple car dealerships and such when he was seeking that sales opportunity and it taking a while to find that that right location that would provide him the opportunity, that's not unusual. It can be very difficult for individuals to find that first opportunity. But at Iowa Workforce Development, we're committed to helping individuals that are coming, either whether they're coming directly out of the prison system and their incarceration, or even if they've been out for a while and they're still dealing with problems with a past record that hampers their ability. We have a unique partnership with the Department of Corrections that actually places workforce advisors in four of the facilities across the state. That's Newton, Mitchellville, Rockwell City, and Clarinda, as those are the facilities that release the largest number of offenders each year to try to help before they're even released, starting to develop some of those job search skills, updating resumes, having those conversations on how you talk about your felony record and what employers are looking for. They want to know that you've learn from your crime. They want to know what you've done to improve your skills and such going forward. So we work to help individuals express that appropriately.
Mm-hmm.
And all of our offices across the state also provide services. We have targeted programs for individuals who are coming out with a felony and how to interview, how to fill out those applications. For example, don't ever lie about your felony. Don't ever say you don't have one because it will get caught on a background check. What you want to do is come up with the resources to explain why it happened and explain what you've done to learn from it to move forward. But it definitely is an uphill battle for individuals, and they have to be prepared for a longer search.
What is the message that you find that you most often have to communicate that is really a key piece of advice? Perhaps you also you already mentioned it is to own the fact that you are you are convicted of a felon and that you've changed.
Yes, that's one of the biggest messages. The other one is to teach individuals the skills that they've learned while they were incarcerated. Maybe they had a specific job that they did, whether they worked in a kitchen or worked anywhere or learned a new trade, to be able to promote that appropriately. So it's really important for employers to see that you've been committed to something, and that really helps demonstrate that as well. So those are two of the big things that individuals have to work through.
It seems like, as in Kelly's case, I would imagine in others, that you get shut down very quickly just before you even talk to anybody at a place of employment. Is there any advice for getting someone, an employer, to at least talk with you, to get that maybe first telephone interview to see if you can make a better impression on them rather than having your resume immediately discarded because there's the yes in the felon question?
There's a couple of things that we recommend. One, we recommend you work with our Iowa Works offices across the state because we maintain a network of employers that are open and receptive to hiring individuals that have a felony on their background. So we can help kind of open that door for you from that front. But then if you're doing the job search on your own, and if it's very common today, you do your applications online, you don't ever see the person, it's to really reach out and follow up on those personally, try to find that contact in HR so you can put that face to the name that will help give your application a chance to come to the top versus just being discarded immediately. And again, it's cover letters are important, understanding that you recognize that you have a felony and what you've done to improve from that so that it stands out right from the top when they're first starting to look at that.
Are there other programs that are intended to help ex-felons reintegrate with society by getting work?
Every community, every county has a variety of different programs that are available, and they vary at each county level. It might be through a community action agency. It might be from more of a nonprofit. It's really important. So based on where you live, our offices will also help connect you with those resources so that you can take full advantage of all of the opportunities that are available for you.
Carrie Kuntz is with us, Communications Director at Iowa Workforce Development. Kelly Page is with us as well, ex-felon and former owner of Great Alternatives. He had to sell his e-cigarette store in Des Moines to his mother after he was denied a tobacco permit. And what can be said, Kelly, about the recidivism rate for ex-felons who find employment versus those who cannot? And as Kelly Page pointed out, he has served what society told him he needed to serve for his crimes. And so I assume our society is interested in having people not go back behind bars. And how much does employment have to do with staying out of prison?
You know, it's been a proven fact statistically, time and time again, individuals that are able to secure full-time self-supporting employment in the first 6 months of when they were released, the recidivism rate drops by at least 50%. And while that's important for the individual, it's also important for the community because it reduces the chance for potential increase in crime that would affect the community. So it's really important that resources are available across the state for individuals to help secure that employment early on.
Kelly Page, in your case, you were convicted multiple times of a felony. What part did employment play in you then committing a felony again in prior instances?
Well, I guess, you know, I have to say that I'm fortunate to have the support group in my family that I have, for one thing. That's always been great. And I'd also like to say for anyone listening that is in my shoes and maybe facing these things from bad decisions, you know, tenacity, I think, is a key, too. And folks that are incarcerated and have been in trouble are typically very smart folks and very driven, and they're driven in the wrong things. And if they can take that and apply that towards follow-up with getting employment and keeping employment, then it works wonders. And, of course, everything starts with the attitude from within with each individual. So I don't know the exact statistics that she just said, but I would imagine that it does drop significantly when people gain employment. You know, you feel defeated sometimes. And, again, that's, you know, from our decisions previously. But you have to keep going. You have to stick to it. You know, I've used all of this to teach my boy, who's 11 years old, some lessons here recently. He's watched all of this unfold. And I said, you know, I've told him, you know, look at the power of decisions for all of us, you know. And even just with doing your homework and things that are on his level, you know, just how important it is to make the right decisions because everybody will be where they're at 6 months from now and a year from now from decisions that we make right now.
Kelly Page, what is the point of you being on our show? What is your interest in being on our show, telling your story to tens of thousands of Iowans?
I got a call from, I assume, one of your producers Tuesday. And they asked me if I'd be interested in being on the show. You guys were doing a story about
right.
Ex-felons getting back into the workplace.
No, I guess what I'm really asking is you're raising awareness about your situation and perhaps the situation of other ex-felons seeking jobs. You want something to change?
Yeah, I guess I have to go back to that if – you know, you pay your debt according to the laws in place and the structure that they have in place. Once you pay your debt, I think that you should be allowed to move on and not have that hold you back from being, you know, just a regular member of society. And again, obviously, you have to have a certain education to get certain jobs. But as a whole, you know, if that is behind you, if you paid your debt, then I think that you should be eligible just like anyone else.
Kerry Kuntz of Iowa Workforce Development, what trends are you seeing in this area? Are you seeing any attitudes change, positions changing on this?
There is, in the employment world, there is a more opening up of employers being willing to look at individuals more thoroughly and look at, you know, all of their experiences and not just weight it based on their felony. Now, there are certain types of crimes that can still inhibit you. For example, an identity theft crime or a financial crime is going to inhibit your ability to work in the banking or the insurance industry. Any type of a seriously violent crime, that can also be very difficult to place at first. But we see a trend in manufacturing and construction and customer service areas such as that that are becoming more and more willing to hire individuals that have a felony on their record.
So what's the takeaway in light of Kelly's experience, other experiences you've come across of ex-felons seeking jobs? What can you say in closing here?
I would say that for the individual that is in that position, it's important to remember that your battle is going to be a little harder than everybody else. You're competing against individuals that don't have that felony on their record. But as Kelly mentioned, your support network is paramount, whether that's family, whether that's people in your community, whether it's religious resources, whatever it might be for you, that support network is key to keep you moving forward and keeping you motivated.
Mm-hmm. Kelly, can you imagine putting up this struggle without the support network you have?
No, I can't. It would have been very difficult. I'm very blessed, very thankful to have the support that I do. So,
have you had contact with Mayor County of Des Moines about this?
Other than the formal city council meeting, I have not. But, Mayor County said at that meeting himself, that he wanted to be very careful to take away my source of revenue and my livelihood when I have had no problems since 2008 and prior, and I had paid my debt. He said had there been problems, then he would have a very different outlook than what he did. And so I thought he was very supportive.
Okay, so you're hoping in the coming months, maybe longer, for what?
To put my application for a license back in, we've had everyone that comes in signs a petition that just in support of Kelly Page and having good moral character to be granted a license. And, I will have all the support and all my ducks in a row for definitions of moral character, how I fit it before for bad moral character, how I also fit it now for good moral character, and, get put back on the agenda and go down and give it another shot.
Okay, well, good luck to you. Kelly Page, ex-felon and former owner of Great Alternatives, still works there you said Beaverdale, right?
Yeah, it's 4930 Franklin in Beaverdale.
Okay, Kelly Page, thank you for coming into our Des Moines studio.
Thanks for having me.
And Carrie Kuntz, Communications Director at Iowa Workforce Development, thank you for giving us a broader picture of the navigation of the job market here in Iowa as an ex-felon. Carrie, thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up in our second half hour, Kristen Powers joins us. She's in Iowa City to give a talk in conjunction with a showing of the film Twitch, which focuses on her experience. Twitch is the first documentary to follow the life of someone going through genetic testing for Huntington disease. We'll also talk with Huntington disease specialist Dr. Peg Nupolis. It's an interesting conversation coming up in just a moment. You won't want to miss it. We'll be back in just a few minutes. It's River to River from Iowa Public Radio News.